Word of Mouth. We're back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. It's about 7:36 p.m. And joining us in the studio, we've got another local activist from, you know, I've seen him down at a few of the Toronto Truth Seekers meetups on Saturday. That's how I know him. And I actually know that he's actually really close to our location right here in Ryerson, where he's at now, which is also near where we meet up in Toronto Truth Seekers at the Young Dundas Square. But yeah, I just wanted to welcome Derek to the show today.
Thanks, Daniel. Thanks for the introduction.
Oh yeah,
sure,
thanks
to be here.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for making it in today. And I know, you know, there's so much stuff going on locally with this G20. I guess what are your impressions right now of the G20?
Well, basically, the first thing is the amount of money they spent really stands out to the general public. But if you look behind the layers of it, there's much more going on. We got the wars based on false acquisitions, weapons of mass destructions turned out to be lies. Then we got secret tortures, secret prisons. We got microchips coming in. They're on TV, on the media. You know, there's a lot of things going on at once, and we kind of have to pay attention. And that's why I like Toronto Truth Seekers, because it does indulge into that type of specifics, right? So,
yeah, exactly. You can take your, it's, you know, it's like taking your activism to the streets as well. You know, getting the word out on the Saturdays. I've seen you down there get on the megaphone.
Yeah, a couple times, because you know what, I have a lot of I got a lot of personal issues with what's going on in the States, right? Because mm-hmm. when we allow this to happen, when we allow innocent people, you know, in Iraq or Afghanistan to be interrogated without lawyers, to be tortured, waterboarded. You know, eventually what's going to happen is they segregate the population, and we allow that to happen in these third world countries, and we say, you know what, at least it's not us. You know, you can turn a blind eye, but you know what, as a human population, we're all one, you know, we're all under God, and we have to fight for each and every one of our freedoms. So basically, if you don't, it's going to end up happening in your own country. And that's what the psychological aspect of it is, you know. And now you got these fences overtaking Toronto, which looks like the Berlin Wall. Mm-hmm. And if you actually put a side-by-side photo, you couldn't really decipher the difference. You know, it's basically them and us. It's a segregation of society. It's the elite and the general public. And if you look at all the taxes being raised, and in the state of times that we're in, we have to wake each other up. We have to be truthful. We have to really stay true to the facts. And that's what I'm about. I'm about waking people up, and I really have a passion for it. You know, it's like, because 20 years down the road, I want to say at least I was a part of something, because there is going to be a movement. There is going to be people in the streets. When they mm-hmm. do clamp down and they do bring more of these security parameters in, you know, just like Toronto G20, there's going to be the protests, right?
Right. And that's what I wanted to get into, because we have this G20, we got the global leaders, 20 of the biggest global leaders coming to Toronto. You know, so we're talking about global issues here, but it actually comes, when it comes down to it, for us here in Toronto, it's a local issue. And you know, with the local, you know, with yourself being a local person of the local community, I know you've got a firsthand look of about what's going on, and you know, I was about to ask you, you know, about what you've been seeing, and you know, have you been seeing the activism going on around?
Yeah, actually, I just live downtown in the downtown core, and they had a general protest, which I believe started in Queen's Park, and that was mm-hmm. I believe yesterday.
Free speech zone.
Yeah, free speech zone. That's where they tell you where you can, you know, have your freedom of speech.
So, right.
You know, listen to the government where they tell you to go, right?
Yep.
But basically, yeah, I was just walking up the street. I didn't actually plan to do any activism that day or be a part of a protest. So I saw a very huge march, and there was about 200 people. It turned out to, it started off peacefully. Mm-hmm. And I said, I asked one of the protesters, what is this concerning? Because they had animal rights activist signs. So I thought it had to do with animal rights, but they said it was G8, G20. So I started to join in and walk up the street. This was along Dundas. Mm-hmm. So basically, the cops were blocking off the area of church in Dundas. And there was about five or six of these guys that looked a little shady. They ended up going into a gas station. And they ran in there and there's about 20 people that followed them in. So right away, I saw this, and I thought maybe violence might occur. I don't know. Hypothetically, I was just thinking, I don't want to be a part of this. I am a peaceful protester. I just want to march and be a part of something. But when they went in there, I just put my arms up and I said, hey, I'm not a part of this. It's surprising how there was TV crews right there at the exact moment that they overtook this gas station. And they had the mic on me right away. They were interviewing me, asking me what happened. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of bizarre, to say the least.
Now, do you think that they started interviewing you because they thought you were just a guy walking by, or did they think you were part of the protest?
Well, the funniest thing happened was they started pointing at me and thinking that I was an agent provocateur when I was the one that said I'm not a part of overtaking a gas station to protest, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to have a protest and if you are a movement, freedom of speech is everything, and you know what? Every protest that we can be a part of is great, you know, especially during these times. But there has to be some kind of leadership. So when these guys overtake a gas station, you got one TV station there. But if they would have stuck with their idea, if they would have just stayed in that gas station and be peaceful, mm-hmm. you know, you could have had publicity on a tremendous level. Mm-hmm. But they ended up staying there for about 5 minutes, and then they ended up leaving.
Oh, well, yeah, that, okay.
So I didn't know what the point was, you know.
Right. So you're seeing a protest already starting Monday, and it's in your neighborhood, and you're saying this is a church in Dundas. It's like this is like a block away from
yeah,
where
that's
we are right.
right
now. Okay. And then you're saying that you're as this protest takes a turn for the gas station, somewhere along the way you start being accused of being a police provocateur.
Policeman, agent provocateur.
Like that's the people are just yelling this stuff out. Or?
Yeah, it's basically, you know what? I said, "Wow. I actually was pretty inspired when I saw these people marching because I'm like, you know what? This is early."
Yeah.
It's earlier than expected and I'm like,
right, on Monday, yeah.
If they have a good following, if they have like if they know what they're talking about and they get to the general public, people will join in as they're marching. That's the kind of protest we need to have in Toronto. We need to have people from all different types of ideals. You know, if you're with gay rights and everything else that's going on, with the homeless, you know, look in the streets of Toronto. If you go down to Eaton Center, you know, about 20 people will come up to me in a matter of an hour. It's just on a monumental level. So we have to stand up for homelessness. We got to stand up for rights of all people. We have to stand up for detainees in Iraq and Afghanistan. There shouldn't be any secret prisons and torture tactics. You know, this is Nazism, really.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. All the stuff going on. And, you know, I know that it's going to be even bigger this weekend, the activism, the protests. And With the leaders though, with the summit, you know, it's a meeting, it's referred to as a meeting. Some people refer to it as a party, you know. But we're never totally sure about all the what goes on behind the closed doors and in this secret arrangement, and you know we don't even totally know their full agenda. But from what we do know, like, are you expecting there to be a big announcement at the end of this or?
I'm just going on what their words are in their publications and from what they say on television and in the media. They want a world government, world convergence of all the governments worldwide. They want to instill this on the people without even any kind of voting anything. It's basically them taking control and us just being behind the fence. And you know what? When you research this, these are some of the biggest names to come out in politics. This is Bush, this is Al Gore, this is Barack Obama, this is Clinton, this is the Pope. If you actually research mainstream media and you go on and type in New World Order and any leader, they all are on the same page. So basically what that entails is like a global currency.
Right.
Because it's almost like if there's a catastrophe with a global economic collapse, or country by country, they're going to be the ones that are going to say, we got a solution. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's a bunch of bull. You know what I mean? It's them taking control and them bringing in these security parameters. If you look at the airport scanners that are going in,
right,
that are already installed in a lot of these Pearson airports and UK worldwide,
right?
It's basically, it's it's demoralizing humans. So you go in, they can see your naked body, and you're deemed a terrorist suspect, proven guilty before innocent. That's what they want you to feel like. They want you to be in fear. And this is an agenda. You know, they have so many different aspects of this. You know, when it's like it's a security grid that's coming in. And when you understand, when you wake up to it, you understand the plan.
Right. Some of the things to look out for this weekend include tens of thousands of cops, as well as they're saying Canadian Armed Forces, RCMP, Secret Intelligence. They're talking about jamming cell phones. As well, if you're at the protest, look out for sound cannons, water cannons, tear gas, pepper spray, these type of things. With this massive security we're seeing going in, and you know, even just maybe the most visible is the fences. You brought it up. Have you been down to the fences?
I've actually done a couple tours down by Union Station,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen the fences. You know, this is what $1.2 billion gets you.
Mm-hmm.
How many police officers and security guards? Over 10,000
mm-hmm.
in a city of Toronto to close it down in the middle of the summer while the World Cup is going on. You know, it's kind of mm-hmm. convenient that there's a World Cup going on. There's so many fans interested and so many people that are kind of not interested in what's going on in Toronto. It's kind of mm-hmm. like a deflection, you know, that's what I think.
Yeah.
I think they actually installed it in Toronto because they know we're a very laid-back type of society.
Mm-hmm.
We're not like New York or Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or the UK. We're not all up in arms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right. But you are you thinking you're gonna check it out? Maybe the Saturday march or the. So are you thinking of?
I'm definitely. I want to be a part of something, but I want to choose my battles properly.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a peaceful protest and I hear about it, I'm definitely interested in being a part of something.
Right. Yeah, I know the Saturday they're saying is going to be a big day. There's stuff going on. You know, they're saying even starting tomorrow there's going to be Indigenous sovereignty starting, I think, around 11 a.m. at the Queen's Park North. Then in Allen Gardens on Friday, there's they're talking about setting up a tent city. Then there's the Saturday will be the big day because that's all the unions are also promoting that one I guess it's a rally at Queen's Park, and then they're going to plan to march down towards the fences. I don't know how close they'll get. And, you know, I'm not even sure. You're saying that you've been down at the fences around Union Station, but I think that there is, you know, I am a bit surprised that they are. It says that they're leaving Union Station open, that GO Trains, TTC will still run to Union Station, and you can still access it. Like, when you walk down to Union Station, are you seeing it surrounded by fences, or is it still open? Or
it's pretty much open just before Union Station. I believe that's on Bay.
Right.
That's where the fences pretty much end.
Okay. So it's like a border. I see.
Yeah.
That's how they're going to do it. And yeah, so they got it. They got it all the way down till, I guess, they got a separate fenced off area near the lake at the harbor, at the Western Harbor Castle. There's a fenced area there, and then there's the main one around the downtown core there. So that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff to look out for. And you know, there is just, you know, there's just so much stuff going on. But I guess, is there do you have any recommendations? Like, would you recommend people protest, or maybe even not even just the G20, but like even just the what Toronto Truth Seekers are doing on the streets, or what would you say for the future of local activism?
Well, I definitely I enjoy being a part of this, and what Toronto Truth Seekers is about. It's definitely about waking people up and doing your own research on what these government elite are actually doing to us. And with the more control that they get, you know, it's us, the little people, that have to stand up for everybody, you know? They called us the little people. I don't know if you actually seen the BP shenanigan with the oil mm-hmm. oil spill in
yeah.
the Gulf.
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest ever.
So the head of the BP came out and said, you know, we're all just little people. That's the way they look at us, pretty much. We're just their slaves and their security grid, right? But basically, it's about waking people up, being a part of something, a movement, because I believe there's going to be a revolution taking place. Definitely when another terrorist attack happens in the next 3 to 6 months, you heard it here. They actually called it in the Congress. They they had a lot of interviews with top officials with the military, with the government, and they actually said within 3 to 6 months there's going to be a huge terrorist attack on the level of 9/11. So when something like that happens, you see that's where the security grid comes into play. It's secret arrests. You know, you don't think that could happen in America? It happened in Germany. You know, it could happen here. History repeats itself. You know, they have unlimited warrants. They could actually just tap your phone, read your emails, see what books you're going to take out at the library with no warrants whatsoever. And this has happened since the Patriot Act. So this allows them to have so much control and power. And right now they actually have a few different things where they want to censor the internet.
All right. That could be their next move.
Yeah, and that's actually something we need to actually talk about because there's a czar, his name is Cass Sunstein. He wrote a government paper for Harvard Law, and he said that he wanted to censor and actually control conspiracy theories. So he said that was a big threat to the government and the mainstream media. So we're winning the war as far as freedom of speech. They know that we outnumber them. They're a small minority. We're the majority. So the power is with the people. And basically, I got some of their information here because I actually put a video on. And this is them on live TV talking about the censoring of the internet. And this is something we got to be aware of because most people aren't. Mm-hmm. You know, the mainstream media isn't going to cover this. They aren't going to say that the President Obama can actually have a dictatorial power to say when the internet can be on and when it can be off in the name of terrorism, just like the Patriot Act, you know? So here it is. You heard it here first.
For real, for real. And yeah, and Derek, I want to thank you a lot for coming down here. Oh, here.
There's a lot of people out there who think that what you are granting the president is absolute power to shut down freedom of speech. I mean, this is just over the top.
No way. And total misinformation. I don't know whether people are intentionally peddling the misinformation. Here's the fact. Cyber war is going on in some sense right now. Our civilian infrastructure, the internet that runs the electric grid, the telecommunications grid, transportation, all the rest is constantly being probed by nation states, by some terrorist groups, by organized criminal gangs. And we need this capacity in time of war. We need the capacity for the president to say, internet service provider, we've got to disconnect the American internet from all traffic coming in from another foreign country, or we've got to put a patch on this part of it. The president will never take over. The government should never take over the internet. And listen, we've consulted. Senator Collins and I are proposing this bill with civil liberties and privacy experts. This is a matter of national security. A cyber attack on America can do as much or more damage today by incapacitating our banks, our communications, our finance, our transportation as a conventional war attack. And the president, in catastrophic cases, not going to do it every day, not going to take it over. So I say to my friends on the internet, relax. Take a look at the bill. And this is something
national
that we
security.
Need to protect our country. Right now, China, the government, can disconnect parts of its internet in the case of war. We need to have that here, too.
We can have that here, too. That's what he said. China has it.
And that's
so
Cass Sunstein?
That's Joe Lieberman.
Oh, that was Lieberman, right?
Yeah, Lieberman. And we got Cass Sunstein as well. I can play that. It's about a 6-minute clip.
Well, when we say we'll you. Save that one next time for next time, we'll get into the internet and coming up later in the summer. And thanks a lot, Derek, for coming in. Because we got to wrap up. We got our G20 episode coming up, our special wrapping up. But thanks a lot, Derek, for joining us.
Thank you so much.